Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Preach. I'm Rabbi Don Weber, and today we're going to talk about where sermons come from. I remember when I was thinking about becoming a rabbi back in college. I spent a lot of time talking with my rabbi, Rabbi Norman Kahan, of blessed memory. I must have asked him 100 questions about what it was like to be a rabbi, but one in particular stands out in my mind. I asked him how he thinks of what he wants to talk about for his sermons week after week and year after year. I remember him sitting at his desk, looking at me and smiling and sighing and saying, "Don, I'll tell you how I do it, but you're not going to like my answer." I didn't quite understand what answer he could give me that I wouldn't like, so I said, "Go ahead, try me." And he said, "Okay, God has never let me down." Paused, waiting for him to continue, but he didn't continue. I looked at him and said, "That's it?" And he said, "That's it." And I thought, great, what am I supposed to do with that answer? God has never let him down. Well, I went on and became a rabbi, maybe anyway, and after more than 40 years of giving sermons, I will tell you that when people have said to me, "How do you think of something to talk about week after week and year after year?" I've looked at them and smiled and said, "God has never let me down." I assume that will be as useless to you as it was to me all those years ago, but nonetheless, there's not much more I can tell you about that part of it. I do the same things that everybody does in looking for sermons. I look at the week's Torah portion. I look at the week's commentaries, both traditional and modern. One thing I do that some people may not do is I keep an idea file. Years ago, I used to keep it on a piece of paper tucked into my wallet. After that, I just made a file that I keep in my phone. And whenever I see something, experience something, read something that I think is interesting, I write it in my idea file. Sometimes it's an entire thought-out sermon, sometimes it's my one sentence for a sermon, and sometimes it's just an idea that I think I want to develop at some point. And there are times where I go back to the file and go, yeah, this is what I want to talk about now. So that's the only real piece of advice I can give you beyond the idea that God will never let you down if you're trying to preach in God's name. But there are a couple of things I've learned not to do that may help. And one lesson was drilled into us by our professor of history, Dr. Martin A. Cohen, who said many, many times that rabbis should not preach out of the New York Times. And by that he meant that our text should not be current events, or at least not current events as reflected in secular media. Because, as he explained to us, unless we have a PhD in political science, there are probably people in our congregation who are more knowledgeable about current events than we are. And so our reaction to the news is no more meaningful than theirs, or anyone else's for that matter. Dr. Cohen said to us over and over that our text is Judaism, because that's our expertise. That is why people listen to us. They listen to us because they want to hear what the rabbi, what Judaism has to say about the topic. So does this mean that we're limited to Jewish topics? Absolutely not. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is God's and the fullness thereof, the seas and all that dwell therein." We can speak about anything, Dr. Cohen taught us, but we need to speak from our strength. We need to speak from our tradition. When we do that, the whole world opens as potential for sermons. But we must ground it in our tradition, whether it's Judaism or whatever tradition it is that we're teaching. Now, I do have a request for you from the pews that I mentioned briefly in another section of this podcast. And that is, if you're one of those people who sets out for temple with no idea of what you're going to preach about, with the prayer on your lips that the Spirit of God will enfold you and bless you with holy words to speak, please don't Please don't do that to us. Oh, you might get away with it sometimes. And you might even come up with something brilliant once in a while. But please remember that the people who are listening to you have the choice of hundreds of cable channels and a billion sites on the internet. And many of those sites put a lot of work into creating content that you and I will find interesting. So if you haven't put real work into what you're going to say to me, please don't expect me to put any real work into listening to you. It's not the way it happens. Even those like Baptist ministers who seem to get up and speak extemporaneously for half an hour or longer, and who often put in their newsletters that the length of the service and especially the length of the sermon are, quote, subject to the will of the Holy Spirit, unquote. Even Baptist ministers working without a text in front of them are not simply getting up and talking off the top of their heads. As I've gotten to know several of these ministers, I've seen the hours of work that they put into preparing for their spontaneous sermons, going so far as to rehearse their hand gestures that they're going to use along the way. Now, do they memorize every word they're going to say? No. I assume they did it pretty much the way I do with my one sentence and preaching without a net. But remember that preaching that way is a lot like jazz. You may decide the path of the music at any one particular moment, but a whole lot of preparation and learning and study goes into that decision and goes into that moment. And that is the exact opposite of getting up to speak without really having any idea of what you're going to talk about. So you'll notice that I didn't do any better than Rabbi Kahan at explaining where sermons come from. And that's because you have to hate my answer as much as I hated his. God has never let me down. Now, to be clear, I still had to do all the work. You know that old saying, pray as if everything depends on God, but act as if everything depends on you. When I've approached the week's Torah portion or commentaries or experiences in the world with an open mind and an open heart, I have never come away empty. And if you find this deeply unsatisfying, I don't blame you, because I can still picture myself sitting in Rabbi Kahan's office when he said it to me. And I remember my brain quietly exploding as I thought about risking my career on God has never let me down. But now, 49 years after that meeting, and more than 40 years after preaching my first sermon, I have to admit that Rabbi Kahan was right. God has never let me down. May you reach the end of your career and be able to make the same statement of faith and of reality. Next time, Don's do's and don'ts for preaching. Have fun.